Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we talk to a Clark County commissioner. And by the way, the Clark County Commission, some say, is more powerful than the state government. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, today, Commissioner Steve Sisolak is going to talk about green energy and union contracts.
And coming upon the Power Pundit panel, Greg Crawford, John Sandy IV, and Sean McGinnis. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program after a long absence, and we're glad to have him back, Clark County Commissioner Steve Sisolak. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's a real pleasure. Thanks, Sam.
The big news, I would think, is something that is under your domain, this giant solar project that looks like it's going into the Laughlin area. Could you explain to us a little bit about the details and where all this is?
Sure. ENN is the company, and it is a very, very exciting project that we're dealing with right now. ENN is a company out of Beijing, has approached Senator Reid initially, and then they've visited me probably half a dozen times. We've had a dozen or so phone meetings with their representatives. We're trying to work through the contractual obligations that would be involved here. What we're talking about is they want to take down the entire 9,000 acres that the county has in Laughlin to develop a solar manufacturing plant, about 400 acres, which would actually manufacture the photovoltaic facility, they manufacture the screens there that they would use the panels, and they would be put on about 4,000 or 4,500 acres of the property and be in a solar generating facility. It would create about 5,000 to 6,000 construction jobs. That's not counting the infrastructure jobs, and then 2,000 to 3,000 permanent jobs to actually work in the facility. It would take 3 years of production from the facility to make enough panels to service the entire solar farm, and after that they would begin exporting the panels to other facilities that they plan on constructing.
Well, Lord knows that this is a project that we could certainly use. A question that popped up was, because we've had several issues with this in northern Nevada, do they have purchase power agreements agreements in place for the power that they would generate?
That's the roadblock or the hurdle that we're facing right now. I, like I said, I've had numerous discussions with them. I can get them through the county permitting process and the exclusive negotiating agreement for the property. But the power purchase agreement is a federal issue that they're dealing with California on the PPA right now, and I'm waiting to see the results of that. You know, they're working on it, and hopefully they'll, you know, through the hard work and diligence, they'll be able to work something out with Cal Edison.
You know, it's interesting because Governor Brown just said a couple of weeks ago that he wants California to be a net exporting state as far as renewable energy. How does that play into this mix?
Well, I happened to run into Senator Reid and myself were at the Clean Energy Summit at ARIA a couple of weeks back with the Vice President, and Governor Brown was there, and it was with the President of ENN, and we had a nice discussion, made it clear that, you know, we want this project clearly in Southern Nevada, in Laughlin, and whatever California does with the rest of their importing, exporting, you know, obviously is their decision, but we certainly hope that we'll be able to work out with ENN that they can establish the PPA with California and get this plant going, because without the agreement, there'll be no plant. Obviously, without a plant, there won't be any jobs, so it all hinges on this PPA agreement.
Commissioner, Clark County's reeling, as is the rest of the state and a big portion of the country, from this downturn in the economy. You have been one of the most outspoken advocates on the County Commission against waste, fraud, and abuse in the system. And in fact, you have had everything from death threats against you and a lot of criticisms from some of these unions. We've heard in recent weeks that the county has been trying to get the Service Employees International Union back to the bargaining table, and they've alleged that that union has been negotiating with Clark County in bad faith. Where are we at on that?
Well, where we're at is, I believe you have to have six meetings before you can move ahead and go to arbitration, and there's been difficulty. What our staff is telling me, it's been a difficult situation to get them to come to the table. They're only wanting to meet once every 3 or 4 weeks as opposed to meeting once or twice a week to get these six meetings in. All the negotiating points, the issues aren't even on the table yet, and it's important to understand that this is a contract that expired 3 months ago. You know, on Saturday, we'll be entering in the second quarter of this fiscal year, and we know we're near resolution in this contract, and the longer it takes, the unfortunate part is we're going to be facing another round of layoffs and cuts again if we can't get some type of concession and get this contract signed. And we've hit pretty much a brick wall here in terms of getting any further discussion going, and it's my hope that SEIU will come back to the table or continue to come to the table just in a more expeditious fashion. I know it's a major contract negotiation that we're going through, but it's important that we do it quickly. I mean, for the members as well as for the taxpayers and all the people of Clark County.
Now, these contracts, they expire on June 30th, but if a new contract isn't agreed upon, that current contract continues at that same rate that, you know, we may want to look at decreasing or looking at some of the benefits, correct?
Correct. Yeah, there's an evergreen clause in the contract, which means if it's not renegotiated, it just keeps moving forward until there's a new contract, which is one of the issues. When we did it the last time, if we get a concession, and hopefully there will be a concession in this contract moving forward, it goes retroactive to July 1st of this year, which is already 3 months. So people then are facing a situation that they have to start paying the money or the benefits back that they already received, which makes it more difficult. We were able to negotiate some of the contracts a little quicker. Fire we solved. The Police Protective Association, PPA, we're still working on. We've got an arbitration date set on that one. We didn't make as much progress as we could have. I'm disappointed because we're so close on getting that contract done. We're maybe $1.5 million apart, and maybe there's some still hope we can negotiate that one. But SEIU has been the slowest one to actually get some meat and potatoes on this and to get to the table and actually do the negotiating.
And let's take a break. More with Steve Sisolak when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Are you tired of check cashing fees, bounce checks, and overdraft fees driving you crazy? Introducing the AccountNow prepaid Visa card. AccountNow provides the perfect alternative to a checking account without the hassles and hidden overdraft or bounce check fees.
Before I found AccountNow, payday was a major hassle.
With AccountNow, I don't have to worry about overdraft fees.
With 100% approval and no credit check, call AccountNow today.
Call 1-800-794-3971. The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Sisolak. He's a Clark County Commissioner. A lot of people in the state would say that the Clark County Commission has more power than the legislature. Steve, I just wanted to follow up on that discussion on SEIU. You know, you've been dealing with a lot with unions over the last couple of years. And my question to you is, don't the unions understand that this foot dragging is not going to help them?
Well, I think that they understand, you know, to a certain extent. On the other hand, they're very cautious about giving anything back. You know, this happened over a period of years that, you know, the contracts got so out of hand. I mean, with all the excesses put in there, some of the raises and so forth and so on, and they're very resistant or hesitant to make a concession. I've heard from a lot of the rank and file members that they'd like something done quicker, but they have to wait for their leadership to bring something forward to them. In the economic downturn that we're facing, the situation that we're in right now, we have no choice. If we don't get some concessions, we have to go through another round of layoffs, and we've already had two rounds of layoffs. We don't want a third one, and it's just inevitable that that's what's going to happen. So it would seem logical that you could sit people down and get in a room and meet for a few times, and you're either going to make a pact, you're going to come to some agreement, or you're not. It's just that the process of getting there this time has been extremely difficult. Now, this is an entire contract that's being opened up, so we're looking at all the issues of the contract. But that being said, it's still a very, very slow, tedious, and arduous process.
As I said before, Commissioner, you have been criticized by a lot of the folks in the unions, by the firefighters especially, about talking about taking a look at some of these benefits and seeing what makes more fiscal sense. You even talked about gaming of the system. Did you feel vindicated when those emails came out that showed firefighters were gaming overtime?
Well, I don't know if vindicated is the right word, but I knew we were right from the beginning when this, you know, I became aware of the issue and we brought it up. And it's unfortunate that a few firefighters, now whether, and then we can disagree whether it was six firefighters or 60 or 160, there were firefighters who gamed the system, who planned sick days, who coordinated callback time with others, and basically, in my opinion, defrauded the public. And what we did at that time, we started a parallel investigation. The FBI and the Department of Justice and Metro started an investigation on the criminal avenue, and then we started an internal one in terms of how we could discipline people internally, and the internal investigation is done. You know, we've processed all those disciplines, and some people have been terminated and others have been disciplined, and I'm hopeful and confident that the criminal investigation is proceeding appropriately along an independent rail, so to speak, and that will come out in due time. And I don't know if you're aware, the federal government, when you talk to them, and I've interviewed with them several times, they move at their own pace, and nobody's going to rush them to a conclusion.
Can you just give our viewers and listeners an idea of what it means as far as the amount of money that it costs per firefighter when you do have people gaming the system?
Well, the average salaries for the firefighters with benefits were up at $189,000, which is just something that we cannot afford in Clark County. You've got people that what they were doing is they were planning sick time so they'd have a friend cover for them. If you don't give enough time between the time that they worked and the next shift, it's called callback, and they get paid an extra rate, a higher rate, and then it also becomes PERS compensable, which makes it, you know, builds into the retirement system and the retirement benefits later on down the line. And what happened is there was an orchestrated effort. There was actually a calendar that was discovered during this process that was created by some of these individuals. And some of them were supervisory personnel. They were bat chiefs and so forth. There was a calendar that was brought forward that was coordinating, you know, who was taking what days off and who was going to fill in for them. So it was clearly a conspiracy and orchestrated process to do this.
All right, let's change topics here. A lot of stadium topics were brought up during the legislative session, but the one that looks the most likely to survive is the one that's going to happen at UNLV if everything comes through. Dan Klaich, the chancellor of the university system, said that it would be the greatest thing to happen to UNLV in his lifetime if this were to occur. How does this sit at this point?
Well, Dan's about the same age as me, so the same in our both lifetimes. You're absolutely right, and I'm a big fan of Chancellor Klaich, and we worked together when I was on the Board of Regents. The prospect of having a stadium on campus, on Tropicana, there is really, really exciting. I mean, having football at, you know, on campus as opposed to having to go to the Silver Bowl would be a great asset. The Ed Roski group, you know, the Silverton folks are the ones that came forward with the idea. There were some questions beginning initially when there was going to be a hotel property on there. Right now it's a non-gaming development that they're talking about. I've talked to several of the strip properties that are very, very supportive of a project coming in there that would help not only our community with NFR and PBR and some of those type events, but UNLV in terms of basketball, football, remodeling the TNM, and having the on-campus facility for football and outside events. So it's a very, very exciting situation. There's a lot of things yet to do in terms of, you know, traffic flow would have to be adjusted in some areas. We've got a height restrictions for some of the planes coming down from McCarran. But all these are problems that can be solved. And I was very, very disappointed with the legislature that we didn't get something out of there in terms of a decision on a stadium. There were three or four projects being floated at the time, and one for economic development, but two, the big thing is it would have created a lot of jobs. And it was unfortunate that, you know, none of them got the attention to get something done and to move forward. So at least UNLV is progressing again on this, and that's a good thing for the campus, and it's a good thing for all of Clark County.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you so much, Commissioner. We appreciate you being on the program. Do not take so long to come back on, okay?
It's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'd welcome to come back anytime. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Do you suffer from knee pain? Are you having trouble finding a physician that understands how to treat your knee condition? The Osteoarthritis Centers of America are now accepting new patients for their FDA-approved non-surgical treatment. Most major insurances are accepted, including Medicare. The first 30 callers will receive a free knee consultation. So call 1-877-999-KNEE today and be one of the first 30 callers. Call 1-877-999-KNEE today.
You could be the next CCNN success story in as little as 9 months. Begin your training now and you can earn your diploma in HVAC and refrigeration. CCNN offers a great education that can help you get started.
At Career College of Northern Nevada, we take pride in the tremendous amount of success our graduates attain. CCNN offers career training programs and associate degree programs to prepare you for a successful and fulfilling career.
You'll receive hands-on training that gives you the experience employers are looking for. HVAC and refrigeration service technician jobs are expected to grow 9% by 2016, resulting in more than 300,000 jobs. You'll gain basic knowledge and advanced technical skills that prepare you for an entry-level position in this high-demand field. We even offer career placement assistance to our graduates.
If you'd like to begin a new career in HVAC and refrigeration or any of CCNN's programs, and if you're ready to be our next success story, call now.
Call 888-350-0325 or visit us online at learnCCNN.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Greg Crawford is here, managing partner with Sierra Wealth Management. John Sandy IV is an attorney with Jones Vargas, and Sean McGinnis is a lawyer with the law firm of Lewis & Rocha. Pleasure to have you all here. I'm going to start with you, Sean. This is becoming a very interesting situation arising in our state. You know, Senator Reid, a lot of other people want us to be green energy and produce all this power. We're the Saudi Arabia of renewables, but now we're seeing companies in Northern Nevada who can't get power purchase agreements from NV Energy. Now Commissioner Sisolak is talking about this huge project down in Southern Nevada where they're negotiating with California Edison. You know, how do we become the Saudi Arabia of energy if nobody appears to want to buy it?
Well, and that's a good question. I mean, part of what troubles me with what's going on is it's like we're not all on the same page in the state. It's like we have different. At Southern Nevada, they're moving forward with what Commissioner Sisolak spoke about. Up north, like you said, we're having difficulty in moving forward. And it seems to me that we need to get together and figure out what our long-term objective is. I think it is a good idea to try to do this and get some footing in the green industry, green energy industry. But we need to all get on the same page.
You know, it was interesting when the Las Vegas Strip was in trouble. Senators Reid and Ensign got on the phone, and banks were suddenly loaning money that they weren't doing before. Is this an instance where we have the majority leader of the United States Senate who's promoting this? Doesn't he need to get behind this and start maybe doing a little leveraging to get power companies to buy this power?
Yes, probably. I guess would be the short answer. But I think the problem that we experience is the classic chicken the egg scenario here, is that you have renewable energies, which long term are probably a great idea once we can bring the cost down. I mean, the fact is that it's cheaper to buy coal, natural gas produced energy, and so the consumers won't tolerate increased prices to the amount that you'd have to make renewables actually a feasible, viable option at this point. So as you see more development in the renewable area, I think the price should hopefully come down to a point where it's more competitive with your traditional ways of producing power. And that maybe NV Energy's portfolio will go a lot farther than 25% to maybe 85 to 90. And when we get to that point where Nevada is consuming renewable energy, we can look for other export opportunities.
Should government have a role in this? Should government be providing subsidies?
Subsidies are not my favorite way to get projects done, but there is no question that California for many, many years has not been able to produce enough of its own energy to meet with the growing demands of the state. So this is perfect opportunity.
This is the renewable portfolio.
Not only the renewable portfolio, but remember they've had blackouts and different things. They're not building new hydro dams. They're not. So Nevada has a lot of geographic advantages, not only from the production of the power here through renewable sources, but also the transmission back into that state. And I think that is a viable role for Nevada that our leaders should encourage California to recognize. We can bring these online a lot faster than California.
Besides geothermal, though, I mean, we're talking about baseload power that needs to be there, not just when the wind's blowing or the sun's shining. And isn't that a problem that we have? I mean, isn't that why coal and natural gas and geothermal, which we do have a tremendous amount of in this state, doesn't that make more sense than chasing after sunshine and wind?
Yes, and you can throw hydro into that mix. I mean, that's a long-standing, in addition to the cost issues, that's a long-standing issue with renewable energies. It's not always as reliable as you need it to be. It's not as consistent in terms of its production. So it's a supplement right now rather than a base power substitute.
Though we do have a lot of sun in Nevada, north and south, so the solar aspect of everything.
But do we have the battery technology yet? I mean, I look and I see, you know, maybe that's where the federal government should put some research dollars into, you know, instead of subsidizing, you know, solar panels on everybody's house and giving out these crazy tax credits. Instead of doing that, shouldn't we, like, research on how to store this power in a way that makes sense? Because that really, not having that battery technology, doesn't that hold us back?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that it goes back to having a plan and having people get together and have a long-term strategy.
Well, that holds us back, but not only the inability to store the power, but again, we're putting the cart before the horse, isn't that we don't have the transmission in California. So if we are all of a sudden able to make this renewable energy a lot more affordable, how do we get it to California?
Well, we don't have transmission between Reno and Vegas.
Right.
But eventually, well, that's coming.
That's coming.
That's coming. We've got about a minute or so left here. The Senate reaches a deal to avert the government shutdown, according to the New York Times. Isn't it crazy that we're going through all these little mini disasters when the plan is already there? The Simpson-Bowles Commission came out with a plan. It's going to cause pain for a lot of different people, but it's also going to get us through things. The David Walker plan that Pete Peterson funded is also a common sense plan. Why are we not adopting these? Are our politicians just too spineless?
I agree with you. It's 100% crazy. It does a tremendous disservice to the country and how we perceive ourselves and how the world perceives us. It's 100% crazy. The plans are in place, but I think we're too close to the election cycle, which seems to get longer and longer every time that we go through it.
If we don't fix it, it's going to be forced upon us because the markets are going to look at what we're doing and just say, you know what? We're not putting the money in.
Yeah, we need to find a solution. I mean, we need to find something that's long-term, and I think Greg makes a very good point, is that we're getting in the election cycle, so when we get to that point, that's when politicians seem to lose their spine, and unfortunately, the seasons are getting longer and longer, so we're going to have more inaction on the behalf of the politicians moving forward.
And Governor Sandoval already holding major fundraisers.
Well, and it kind of goes back to, you know, what John said. It's almost like we're moving into this constant re-election cycle. And when you're in a constant re-election cycle, you're constantly running for re-election. You don't want to alienate your base. So it limits what you can do to govern. Your decisions about how you would govern get really hamstrung. Your hands get tied. And that's what we're running into right now.
And Paul, where does it end? Briefly.
I don't know. All I know, Sam, if a board of directors ran a company like Congress and our president runs this country, you would hope they would be kicked off the board and put in jail.
And that's where we have to leave. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
A champion lets his actions do the talking.
Out to the 45 to the 50. Down the sideline.
A champion goes the extra yard. Because sometimes that's what it takes.
Impact touchdown.
A champion doesn't make excuses. He makes history.
How did he do that?
Nevada Wolfpack football. The WAC champions return this September for another groundbreaking season. Get your season tickets today. Call 348-PACK. Option 2.
Come on down to the September Auto Fair going on now at Internet Auto Rent and Sales. With hundreds of vehicles to choose from at amazing discounts during this event. And get no payments until February of next year. Buy with zero money down and payments as low as $150 per month. We welcome all types of credit situations during this event. And interest rates are as low as 1.25%. Don't miss the biggest automotive event of the season. The September Auto Fair going on now at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
Is chronic back pain inhibiting your lifestyle and your quality of life? I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. At ProSpinal, we specialize in a revolutionary, highly successful treatment known as non-surgical spinal decompression.
My leg gave out on me, and I knew something immediately was wrong.
I found this technique works especially well for disc herniation, disc bulge, sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease.
Exactly 15 minutes after the treatment began, the pain was gone. I mean, it was amazing.
My primary goal is to get you or a loved one back to a pain-free and very active lifestyle. In just 3 days, most of our patients experience that relief. But if that's not the case, those 3 days are complimentary.
There's no pressure, I think you'll be totally amazed with the results.
If you or someone you know is suffering with chronic or severe back pain and would really like to get their life back, call me today at ProSpinal, 336-3472. Learn more about this highly successful treatment at ProSpinalInc.com.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam, tomorrow, Kristen Avancino on how art can drive tourism.
Right here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.